Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Christianity is a very personal and intimate idea. Sometimes, you know, we tend to think of we may get lost in the crowd. I know sometimes I think of heaven that way, that there'll be so many people there that you'll just be one of a number. And we've spoken of the Lord's coming in our meeting this morning. We look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus. And it's not to just be one of the crowd, so to speak, that we look forward to seeing him. But we look forward to seeing him face to face. We sang that beautiful hymn this morning, Face to Face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be? And certainly there'll be countless numbers of the redeemed in heaven in that day. But each one will be face to face with Christ his Saviour. What a glorious thing that will be to see him. And as another scripture says, when we see him, we shall be like him. You know, we tend to get mediocre thoughts of the Lord and his love. We tend to have second-rate thoughts of Jesus and his love. But what a wonderful thing it'll be to see him face to face and in that day be like him. Well, the Lord Jesus says here in this scripture that we read, he speaks of his desire to have face-to-face relationships with his own. He says here, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. You couldn't get anything more intimate than that, could you? Than to sup, to have dinner with our Lord Jesus face to face. And it says here that he is on the outside of the door, as we've often been reminded. This is the doorway to personal, intimate relationships with our Lord Jesus. This is the door. And who is responsible for opening it? We are. These are Christians that the Apostle John is writing to. We often speak to the unsaved and we say to open the door of your heart and let Jesus in. But this is epistle is written to believers in our Lord Jesus who are already saved, who have already come to him in their need, but who have grown cold. And maybe there is somebody here, maybe it is myself, who has grown cold, grown away from our blessed Saviour. And he is knocking at the door of our hearts. Saved as although we are, knowing the eternal joy of salvation, it is our blessed Lord Jesus who stands outside the door here and knocks. For he wants to come in and make himself known to us. You know, we can be lulled off to sleep. It says in this little further up that these people, they didn't know that they were the wretched, the blind, and the poor, and the naked. they didn't know. And maybe there's somebody here like that who doesn't know that he is the wretched, the poor, the blind. But the Lord Jesus wants to come in and sup with you. He wants to sup with me. He wants to make himself known. We often hear that scripture, don't we, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, where the Lord Jesus made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread. Made himself known. You know, that's not just an acquaintance that you say, oh yes, I've heard of him, I've heard of the Lord Jesus. But for him to make himself known means a personal, intimate expression of himself. And unless we know something of that, beloved brethren, we're lacking. Unless we know something of an intimate relationship with Jesus, there is something lacking in our knowledge of him. It says in Timothy, the Lord knows those that are his. We often hear that spoken of, don't we, in connection with people in the world who maybe we don't know whether they're saved, and we say, well, the Lord knows. But that scripture means something more than that. The word know means an intimate knowledge. Like we may say, a husband knows his wife. It's not just an acquaintance, but it's an intimate personal knowledge. And the Lord Jesus, he knows you and me like that. He knows us. He knows us through and through. He knows our every failure, our every weakness. Why? Because he died for us. Every sin, every weakness that we have, our infirmities. He was bruised for our infirmities. Our sins, our failures, things that we perhaps think are not too bad. The Lord Jesus was bruised for them. So it says here that he wants to come in and sup with him, and he with me. And then he says, to him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. How intimate that is. It's a wonderful thing, you know, the love of our Saviour. The scripture was read this morning in the end of in John chapter 13, the end of chapter 13. The Lord Jesus says, as I have loved you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye love one another. And here we have it, that as the Father has given to the Lord Jesus to sit in his throne, so he will give to us to sit in his throne. What glorious intimacy is that? Oh, beloved brethren, let us not be lulled off to sleep. Let us not treat the things of God as just something to be put, just something to do when we've got time. Let us treat the things of our Lord Jesus as paramount. Let us not be lulled off to sleep. Let us not become blind. Let us not be wretched and naked, but let us be drawn to the Lord Jesus. May our hearts be drawn to him. You know, in the Gospels somewhere, he speaks of himself as he likens himself to the hen who would gather her chickens. He says, how oft would I have gathered you as one, as the hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The Lord Jesus himself, he desires our nearness. And it says he would not. You know, the chickens respond to the call of the hen, don't they? The hen calls and the chickens run under her wings for protection and safety. They don't run under there for the company of one another. Surely there would be other chickens under the wings when they get there. They would have the company of one another under there, under the wing. But that is not really why they went there. They went there because of they could feel the warmth and protection of the hen. And as they feel the warmth and protection of the hen, their fellowship with one another would be sweet. And that's what it is, blood brethren. Our fellowship flows out towards one another from our fellowship with our Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is to have fellowship sweet with Him. And surely our fellowship with one another would be the sweeter as we come to know Him in a more intimate way. Christianity is a very personal matter. Very, very personal. You know, of course we know, don't we, that we cannot be saved en masse. We preach that you must come to Jesus personally on your own. It doesn't matter if your father or your mother was saved. You must come on your own and be saved. And surely it is no different as we go on in the Christian pathway. We must come personally to Jesus. We must be intimately linked with Him ourselves. And how is it done? It's not by, we may say, by effort exactly. It's by basking in the sunshine of His love. Oh, the love of the Lord Jesus. What it is, none but His loved ones know. Those of us here who are His loved ones, we're His loved ones, and we know His love. The joy of knowing the love of the Lord Jesus, it's a wonderful thing. In chapter 13, is of it, of Corinthians, Paul speaks of what is the greatness of love. Love is a wonderful thing. It's not something that we can put on, although John in his epistle does speak of not loving in word, I think it is, or pretext, but to love in deed and in truth. So we can appear to love, but true love is something which begets love. The husbands would know that with their wives. We're told to love our wife, love our wives. And the wife is not told to love her husband, because if the husband loves the wife, love will beget love. The wife will love automatically if she is loved. And that is the same with us. The Lord Jesus loves us. And if we love, our love flows out from His love. Let us be more urgent to know about the love of our Lord Jesus. David, in his 51st Psalm, he feels the need to be right inwardly. He'd gone astray, as we know. He'd erred greatly from the truth. And he says, "Purge me in my inward parts and make me to know inwardly." Not just as we'll say an external thing that he kind of drifted along in, but he wanted to know intimately what it was to be in touch with his God. And beloved brethren, let us covet this position to know intimately the love of God. The beloved Apostle John, he says he leaned at supper on his breast. What it is to lean upon Jesus. Do we lean upon Him in our daily life? Do we lean upon Him as we go to school? Do we lean upon Him at work? Do we lean upon Him at home? And do we lean upon Him not just when we feel we may say the need of it, but do we lean upon Him in to return something to Him? Well, we've done that this morning, haven't we? We've sought to return something to our Lord Jesus. Let it not just be the end of it now that we've come to the end of our time together. But let us return something to the Lord Jesus, to His God and Father, through the week. How often we forget to lift our voice in praise and worship during the week. But as the scripture that we read in 1 Corinthians 11 goes on to show, that the breaking of the bread is not something to be done and forgotten. The savour of it is to last with us through the week. And indeed, the responsibility is to last with us through the week. We have put our hands to the bread and the wine this morning. We have put our hand to the blood and the bread, the body of our Lord Jesus, what speaks in type of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. We have put our hand to that. What are we going to put our hand to this week? Will it be compatible with what we've put our hand to this morning? Let us not treat the things of God lightly. Let us make them our first priority, and we will find that we're not disappointed. As the Lord Jesus says, seek first His kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus is no man's debtor. He wants to make His abode with us. Speaks of that in John, how he was going to make His abode with them. He's going to dwell with them. Glorious thought, you know, that we're not just saved to go on our own way and lost in the crowd, but the Lord Jesus wants to make His dwelling place with us. Can we open our hearts to Him so that this week is something special in our lives, that we feel the intimacy, the warmth of His nearness. Why? Because we have done with the things that keep us away from Him. Let us buy of Him gold. Let us anoint our eyes. Let us lift up our eyes. And as Peter, it said in the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw no one but Jesus alone with themselves. Might it be our portion this week to know more of these things.